The General Services Administration in the next 3 weeks is releasing the solicitations for OASIS and the OASIS Small Business Multiple Award Contracts. As GSA nears this milestone, it's raising some questions of whether the government really needs another large multiple award contract again. Federal News Radio's executive editor Jason Miller joins us now with details. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning, Tom and Emily.
So, Jason, can you just update us first on GSA's plans?
So OASIS is the next big multiple award contract. It's going to be worth something to the effect of $60 billion over 10 years. It has a ceiling, so obviously it's all about people's use. But GSA is going to issue both the request for proposals for OASIS, the full and open version, and the small business version to buy complex federal professional services by the end of July or early August at the latest. Jim Geloney is the director of the OASIS Program Management Office.
There's a couple things that are getting some T's being crossed, and I's being dotted this week, meetings being scheduled, et cetera. That'll give me a better sense of whether we're going to be able to hit July. At this point, there's nothing coming that would make me think that if it does lapse out, it's going to be much more than a week or so into August. I mean, it's coming, the final. Then it'd be out for a month, announce awards in October, hopefully, is what we're shooting for. And, of course, then we always have the 90-day protest window built into our schedules. Whether that's a solicitation protest or an award protest, I don't know. I think I'll get one or the other, but not both. Build it in, which is why we've said actual work, orders, notice to proceed, orders being issued, et cetera, will be second quarter fiscal year 14, so sometime next, January to March, before things actually up and running.
Now, Geloney spoke yesterday at the Magic Conference in Alexandria, Virginia. He says GSA understands that there's growing anxiety in the industry about what this final RFP will look like. I mean, a lot of people are following this. There's a lot of discussion around it. And in fact, that discussion boiled over Wednesday night, the opening night of this conference, when Federal Acquisition Service Commissioner Tom Sharp spoke at the dinner. Several industry representatives asked what I'll call tough questions about GSA's plans for OASIS. Now, Geloney didn't attend that dinner, but he did hear about it, obviously. It was a big discussion point within the conference yesterday, and he tried to put that expression of concern into a little bit of perspective.
I understand as we get closer to releasing the final RFPs that companies that have been tracking this for a while and kind of seeing it change and evolve over time may have developed expectations or hopes that somehow we would change things that would enable them to bid when they're otherwise not qualified to do so based on the current pass-fails and such. And so I understand that as we get close to final and hope begins to die and tempers begin to rise, that there will be some tumult. Unfortunately, you know, we can't make everyone happy. It's not really our job to make everyone happy. We can't and won't award to everybody that's interested. It's not what the program is all about. And so while I certainly empathize with any disappointed folks out there, I would remind folks that, you know, we are very serious about on-ramps. This program is not going to lock down for 10 years. There will be fluidity in the contractor pool over time.
Now, GSA expects to make about 40 awards per pool. So there's six pools, up to 240 awards under OASIS. Now, let's be clear, there's probably not going to be 240 contractors because Geloney expects a lot of overlap, especially in the full and open contract area. Now, as you heard him say, there will be opportunities for vendors who didn't get on initially or new vendors who enter the market to try to get on the contract. So the on-ramps are going to work in two ways. The first is if you're a small business and you've outgrown your size standard at that five-year point of the contract, but you still meet the minimum qualifications, you're going to be automatically pushed over to the full and open contract. Now, those companies will still have to submit a full bid, updated information as part of this on-ramp process, but if they meet the minimum set of qualifications, which GSA obviously will lay out, that's one way. The second on-ramp will happen when GSA decides it's not getting enough competition in a particular functionality area. For instance, if they're only getting one or two bids per task order, then what GSA says they'll do is announce, we're going to open this up to, you know, 5, 7, 10, whatever number of awards, and then we'll accept bids, and new companies will, again, have to meet a minimum set of qualifications. I mean, this is why this is a huge contract. A lot of people are following it, and people are going, okay, well, how do I get on? How do I make sure I'm not cut off? And I think what GSA is trying to do two things. First, they're saying, listen, you're all not going to get on. Not everybody. And then secondly, but if you don't get on, you're not shut out forever either.
We're speaking with Federal News Radio's Jason Miller. So why are some people in the industry and the government, for that matter, questioning the need for another large multiple agency, multiple award contract?
I mean, two things have changed over the last 20 years since multiple award, indefinite delivery, indefinite quantity, IDIQ type contracts came into really the popularity in government. The first is the shift to buying complex and high dollar services. Initially, when the IDIQs came out, they were just talking about products, basic services, and not this, you know, multi-million dollars that you see now. The second area that changed is the ability to protest task orders, which, as they've gotten larger and more complex over the last 5 or 7 years, Congress has stepped in and changed the law. Now, Dick Ginman is the Director of Defense Procurement and Acquisition Policy. He says there's clearly duplication among multiple award contracts, but it's hard to say if there's too many. Now, Ginman says he'd like to see agencies move away from these large kitchen sink type of multiple award contracts.
It is my personal opinion, and as ACT strategies come through to me to review, I would much prefer that, one, rather than go through this 2-year drill to decide that we're going to restrict to 10, why don't you award to the 20 companies that are competent to do the work? Because 4 years from now or 3 years from now, when I go to run the task order, the person who lost the competition, who's now not eligible to me, I can't get to. Right. Because they're not one of the holders. So we're one, encouraging on-ramps and off-ramps. If I put out bids on a regular basis, a request for bids, and you never bid, I'd be able to off-ramp you. But similarly, I'd be able to easily on-ramp some. But frankly, and I'll put it this way, if you are competent to do the work, you have the technical capability to do the work, you have good past performance, and you are a financially viable firm, give you a contract.
He says that the agencies will have more competition at the task order level. Right now, he believes that there's too much limited competition. Now, part of this problem is knowing exactly how many large multiple award contracts there are. And the fact is, nobody really knows how many there are. The Office of Federal Procurement Policy has tried several times to put together a multiple award contract database. They have not been successful in that. So as you see that there's this kind of growing kind of, okay, well, things have changed. People are doing things differently. Do we need to change, being the government, how they award contracts, look at these multiple award contracts? And I think this is a discussion, while it's not new, it's actually going to take a different turn as people realize, hey, I didn't get on Oasis. Hey, I need to buy things differently. And then obviously cloud, big data, mobile, all those things change the way the government works as well.
All right, so off the Oasis, but not necessarily in the contracting desert, I guess you could say. Jason Miller is Federal News Radio's executive editor. Thanks for joining us.
All right, very good. Take care.